Tappers, what's up? Happy Monday. Hope you guys are all doing well. Hopefully you had a good football Sunday. Hopefully your bets, your DFS lineups, your fantasy teams all worked out for you. It is the 20th of November. Hopefully a short week for you guys. It is not a short week here on Sports News on Tap and the Snow Tap Network. So let me break it down what we have for you this week. We are not going to be doing a Tap and Keg, so if you like the desolate tones of Mitch Ross, it'll have to wait a week. But we are going to be doing Daily Tap today, Monday. We'll be doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I may do a Daily Tap for Thanksgiving. I'm not sure yet. We'll see. And then there will be a weekend watch list on Friday for those who are poor old saps and are going to be in the office on Friday. I will give you a podcast to listen to because I'm that nice. TBD on if we'll get Pardon Murph's Fantasy. He's traveling, going back to the motherland. So we'll see if we'll get a Pardon Murph's Fantasy on Saturday and then back at it again, like normal after the holiday week. So like we said, it's kind of like hashtag no days off. It's just there's some good stuff going right now, and I'm definitely happy, and should be a really fun week, right? Like, obviously, the Packers-Vikings, huge game, do or die. The hype around it's going to be crazy. Just, oh, we're going to talk about Rodgers-McCarthy here in a second. And then also you have Marquette plays Kansas, which could be a bloodbath. They definitely could get shit pumped. The Golden Eagles have two games out in New York City this week. The Badger basketball team is in the Bahamas to play in a ballroom. Could potentially get a Badgers-Virginia matchup. The Badgers are probably the secondary favorite. I wouldn't obviously call them a favorite with Virginia in there. But they are probably considered as a bunch of the top-tier teams in that tournament. Then you have the Bucks playing a copious amount of games. The Bucks play, I believe, they play tonight. They play against Denver tonight. They play on Wednesday. They play on Friday. They may even play on Saturday. So a lot of Bucks action, a lot of things to talk about with your Milwaukee professional basketball team. So yeah, you have it's a good week, man. I love this time of year. This is sneaky one of the best weeks of the year from a sports perspective because you just have college basketball on all the time. You have all sorts of football. College football starts on Thursday and doesn't stop. Like, you're pretty much in heaven. Like, you maybe have a rest day on Tuesday, but even then, you have Maui games going on. You have the MAC happening. Like, there is really no rest for the wicked. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. Hopefully we'll have a lot of fun with it. So, all right, let's get into it. Let's waste no more time. So today, Packers did not play, but the news wasn't great for the team. First of all, we learned Mike Daniels be out with a foot injury. The second thing we learned is that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy fucking hate each other. Now, I think we knew that already, right? They called attention. I'm being hyperbolic, if you will. But it's not good right now. Ian Rapoport reported that there's tension. These two aren't getting along. And here we go again. This has been an ongoing thing for years, and I don't know why. I guess I'm kind of confused why Mike McCarthy is still here if this is such an issue. And I don't know who to blame on that, because I guess that's my fundamental question for you guys today. And feel free to sound off, tweet me, hit me up, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Why was Mike McCarthy still has a job if Aaron Rodgers didn't want him? Aaron Rodgers obviously was being a professional and thought that he could work through it with Mike McCarthy. And he thought maybe getting Joel Philbin back meant some things. Now, wasn't happy about Alex Van Pelt leaving, sure. But to me, it seemed like if Rodgers signs this deal, I mean, granted, he didn't sign that. He signed it right before the season, so he had no influence. I don't know. Maybe he tried that. Maybe he made a suggestion that, you know what, I don't know, I'll sign this deal, but I'm really unsure about Mike McCarthy as that coach. And I wrote a piece on it. You can read it on SnowTapWI. But to borrow from it, I kind of asked who had more to gain, Rodgers or McCarthy, this being on the media. And when I started writing, I thought for sure it was McCarthy because he's trying to line up his next job. Like, he's trying to make himself seem like it's not his fault the Packers are bad this year. But then the more I started, like, thinking through it a little bit, I don't know. Maybe it's Rodgers' camp, because think about all the quarterbacks that are thriving this year, right? And there's this offensive renaissance, and I mean, everybody's just coming points right now, but not the Packers, not Aaron Rodgers. So what's happening? Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in football. Why the hell isn't he doing the same things? Like, why isn't that happening? And so, oh, it's Mike McCarthy. It's Mike McCarthy's system. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Mike McCarthy. It's not me, guys. It's the coach. And you know what? I kind of buy some of that, because I do watch teams and I get insanely jealous. It's so similar to the Bucks. I mean, it's crazy the parallels with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Green Bay Packers, where last year you'd watch teams just shoot threes at a ridiculous rate and you'd be like, God damn it, I wish the Bucks were like this. I wish the Bucks played modern basketball. And then we'll watch tonight's game, which we'll talk about later. Watch Chiefs and Rams, and it'll be like, God damn it, why can't the Packers have this offense? Why can't they be bludgeoning teams like the Saints, who shit pump everybody on their schedule? I mean, someone said the Saints look like Alabama out there. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? So why can't the Packers do that? Why can't, with Aaron Rodgers leading the charge, what's going on? Now, I do think it's interesting. I think Mike McCarthy's system is broken. He's running an offense that is archaic. Like, he's not running a modern-day offense. That said, I do think that teams are baiting Aaron Rodgers into trying to throw the deep ball, and just the underneath stuff's open, yet he doesn't check to it fast enough. Pass rush gets to him, he takes the sack. And I think the Packers need to counteract some of that stuff. I think they need to be running more flats. I think they need to be running angle routes, button hooks. They need to be doing more things to get closer passes for Aaron Rodgers and let Aaron Rodgers sort of be efficient. You watch tonight, you watch how Mitch Trubisky and the Bears handled the Vikings and how it was sort of this thing where they were on no huddle to not let Zimmer get his blitzes together. They were, you know, Trubisky used his legs quite a bit. I think Rodgers can do some of the same things that the Bears did tonight. I really do think they should be borrowing concepts. And I'm not saying that the Bears figured out the Vikings defense, but I got to say, like, Matt Nagy putting up, what was it, 18 points, because they had the pick six, putting up 18 points and being in full control of the game against Mike Zimmer's defense is pretty good. And Mike Zimmer's defense is not an easy nut to crack. And that team nearly is fully healthy, with Anthony Barr being the only one that's out with injury right now. So at some point, Rodgers and McCarthy need to put their bullshit aside. Like, I think they need to get in a room together and they need to sit down and maybe have a beer, have a scotch, if you will. And McCarthy needs to say to Aaron, I'm going to Cleveland next year. I'm going somewhere else. I'm not staying here. This is my last hurrah. I don't care if we win the Super Bowl. I don't care if we don't make the playoffs. I am not here. Either I'm going to get fired or I'm going to leave on my own. I loved you. I loved working with you. But it's clear to you and I just do not get along. McCarthy has to be the bigger man. He is the head coach. He is the CEO. And yes, is Aaron Rodgers his wildly talented senior executive? Yes. But at the same time, McCarthy still holds rank. Rodgers can't say that to McCarthy. McCarthy has to be the one who takes his ego down a notch. And then they have to find ways to work with each other. They have to make that happen if they want to make the playoffs. And you could be like, well, maybe they just want to sabotage the season. So think about this, though. Even though Aaron Rodgers is getting paid buco bucks, right, you still get playoff bonuses. They still make money for getting to the playoffs. Like, the playoffs fucking matter. So, like, even if these guys hate each other, guess what they don't hate? Money. Cream. Cash rules everything around me. That's the motto, man. They're not going to let this petty bullshit get in the way of money. You're not going to fuck up your money, right? We talk about that all the time. So Rodgers and McCarthy have to get together, have themselves just talk it out, pitch at each other, yell at each other, and really figure it out. And who knows? And I feel more confident than I have about playing Minnesota next week than I did last week, than I did the week before. Look, Minnesota is not that good of a football team. They are not good. Kirk Cousins stinks. Kirk Cousins is he's trouble under pressure. He makes a bonehead mistake every now and again. He's been picked. There's been a pick six in his last two primetime games. He's 4-12 under the big lights. He definitely has issues. Now, one of those wins did come against Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago when the Packers were on the ropes in a very similar spot heading to Washington. Granted, I think this defense is better. I think they can really get to Kirk Cousins. I definitely think there is a, if there was ever a time where Rodgers would just come out, throw for 450 yards and tell everybody to suck his dick, it would be this. It would be this game. That would definitely be the game because it's coming back to US Bank Stadium. Packers have been absolute dog shit in the two games they played. Rodgers broke his collarbone there last year. There's a lot of things going into this game that sets up for Rodgers just going bananas. We'll see what happens, though. I mean, these two guys might not be... I mean, all the things I said are fine and good. The hypotheticals are great. But at the same time, these guys both have egos. And so maybe they won't talk to each other. Maybe they'll just let this fucker burn to the ground. And if they do, that's fine. I mean... It's a big fuck you to everyone who watches the team and to their teammates and to the coaching staff and everything like that. They can either be cordial. They don't even have to be friends. They can be cordial and work together and work out their differences and help the greater good, or be petty enough that they stay apart, stay distant, and hurt the whole team. It's their fucking choice. And it's not our choice. We can't make it happen, right? It's going to be up to Rodgers and McCarthy. So they have to decide real quick on how they're going to make this work for the next five games and probably the last five games of Mike McCarthy's tenure. Or six? Six games? I was like five? Six? No, I think it's six. Yeah, it's six. All right, sorry about that. But still, I ended that so nice. I was like, they got to figure it out. That was a great way to end it and transition onto the next topic. And then I fucked it up. All right, but six games. So you get the point. All right, so the Badgers bounced back this week. So we haven't really talked a lot about the Badgers, and it's not because we were ignoring them. It's just there's nothing really to get excited about, right? Like, the Badgers are playing pretty bad. They're projected to be in a non-New Year's Six bowl. I don't have a bowl projection on you, but last I checked, they were like at the Red Box Bowl, which is out in San Francisco. There are some Tax Slayer Bowl. I mean, so none of these are really that attractive. And so, as my good buddy and very loyal Badger fan Doe said, like, we've been spoiled. I mean, we've been in the hunt for the last couple of years. So this is really rare air. And I think that's how a lot of people are taking it. I think there would be certain years where people would get excited. But this team had so much expectations that they are one of the disappointments of college football this year. The Badgers were supposed to be right there with Michigan and Ohio State contending for a shot to get into the college football playoff. It just didn't happen. The defense was young and experienced. I also think Jim Leonard has been picked apart by defenses. And so there's a lot of issues, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Now, Alex Hornibrook also got hurt. That didn't help either. I don't think there was anything stopping Michigan. They're a wagon. Like, that definitely was a loss. But yeah, you could have, if you beat Northwestern were able to take care of business against Penn State, like, you at least would have that. Oh, and you didn't lose to BYU. I mean, I think that's where it started. The loss to BYU was terrible, and that really just started it all. That was the gut punch that did it, and then Michigan knocked him out. It's a bummer, to say the least. But yeah, the game was really fun last Saturday. Jack Cohen did a great job bringing the team back. It was 27-13, looked pretty much in kind of dire straits, and the Badgers went all the way back to tie it and then win it in triple overtime. Jonathan Taylor, 321 yards on the ground. It was kind of one of those what could have been performances, right? If Taylor Taylor's had a big year. Like, Taylor is the best running back in the country by stats, but I don't think he's going to get a Heisman invite. Like, I think it's going to be Tua, it's going to be Kyler Murray, and it's going to be Gardner Minshew, the kid from Washington State. I think those are your three Heismans. I don't think there will be anyone else. I don't think Jonathan Taylor will get invited. Now, he could win the Doak Walker, which is for best running back in the country. I don't think that is out of the question for Jonathan Taylor. But still, you just wonder what could have been, right? He was the Heisman frontrunner to start the year, and it just never developed for him. And with this offensive line, it's really frustrating that this team couldn't figure it out. And if maybe they had a little bit better of a pass game, it could have worked. And it'd be really interesting to see Taylor's development next year, as he's probably this, that'll be his last year. I doubt he'd stay 4 years. But he needs to learn, he needs to become a better pass catcher. Now, granted, Melvin Gordon really wasn't a pass catcher in college, and then he became one in the NFL. But if I was Jonathan Taylor, that would be all I'm working on in the offseason, is how do I become more of a dual threat guy that can catch out of the backfield, because that's what the NFL is looking for. And if he shows that, he's going to be a first round draft pick, surefire, no question about it. But because he doesn't catch out of the backfield, I would imagine he may sneak in the first, but definitely like a second or third round pick. And it's a good thing that the Packers have an actual young running back, so no one's like, "Whoa, they should draft Jonathan Taylor," because all fucking pinheads think that the Badgers are a feeder system for the Packers. So at least we don't have to worry about that. There is a little debate going on right now with the Badgers on whether to redshirt or not redshirt Jack Cohen. So the new redshirt rules, if you're unfamiliar with this, I read this on Bucky's Fifth Quarter, shout out to them, about if you don't play more than four games, or you play four games or less, you can then take a redshirt. So you can then retroactively redshirt. Pretty cool rule by the NCAA, actually. And so Cohen's at his fourth game. So there's a guy, Danny Vanderbloom or Doom, something like that. I've never heard of him. Redshirt freshman. And he could come in and play against Minnesota. And some are saying, well, it's a lost year. Like, would you need to play Cohen? I still think they'd probably go with Cohen if Hornibrook's not ready. Like, I get that he has that redshirt year, but can't you just use that redshirt year next year? Like, odds are Hornibrook's going to be back for his, like, seventh year next year. Cohen's going to be there. Graham Mertz is going to be there. Like, Cohen will probably redshirt, right? Like, he will probably redshirt next season. That, to me, makes more sense than for him to just redshirt now. It's like, I get the idea of preserving it, and that was the plan all along, but things change in football. I mean, Cohen at least showed some nice things. The only thing he has to work on is he needs to know how to pull a ball on a read option. And it could have been pre-designed, but man, oh man, he had so much open space to run. Purdue was just pounding the running back side, and he could have pulled and ran for 15, 20 yards on multiple occasions. All right, wrapping it up. Usually we don't talk national. We try to stay local as much as possible, but I'd be remiss to not talk about Rams-Chiefs tonight. Biggest Monday night game in recent memory. I was trying to look back and see where was there a Monday night game where there was legit excitement for. I looked and found a Saints-Seahawks game that, if I remember correctly, had a lot on the line. It was 2012. Late December, the Seahawks ended up just rolling the Saints at CenturyLink, 34-7. But really, when you talk about big Monday night games, you look back to like the Dolphins and the Bears in 1985, when the Dolphins ended the Bears' undefeated season, or the Niners and Giants in 1990. Those two teams were 11-1 at the time, and the Niners ended up becoming victorious, I think. Yeah. Niners won that in 14-7. So those are like the memorable ones, but we haven't had one in a long time. Now, I got to say, though, I'm glad it's on Monday night. I'm glad it's like a primetime game that we all can watch, but I really wish Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, or Jim Nance and Tony Romo were calling this game, or Alan Criss. I'm sure all three of them are like, couldn't get the best fucking game. Somehow, some way, the ESPN crew got this game. So now we have to listen to the second-rate broadcast. And Joe Tess is all right, but he's kind of approaching Gus Johnson levels where he's just getting excited over nothing. Like, I feel like Joe Tess like gets excited over just coffee in the morning. Like, oh, what a wonderful cup of Joe! Whoa! Like, that's... I just settle down, Joe Tess. Like, have one less bump of Coke. Like, just one time for me, all right? And then, like, Jason Witten, you guys, I don't need to say anything about Jason Witten. We all know Jason Witten just stinks on ice. Booger McFarland's good. I like Booger McFarland a lot. I think he is actually a pretty good analyst, and he definitely talks it straight. Like, he's definitely not one to mince words. So I do like Booger, but it's a damn shame that we're getting the Monday night crew to do such a significant game. I really like the Chiefs in this game, by the way, if you're making a pick. Chiefs 3.5 seems very juicy to me. I also maybe sprinkle the Chiefs money line. I think the Rams are a decent team, but this defense, man, has not been good. They've been leaking oil the last few weeks, and really they haven't faced a good offense. And I think, well, they did against the Saints, and the Saints beat their ass. And I think the Chiefs could do something similar. You're going to get a lot of Chiefs fans in that building. Chiefs are a more public team than they get credit for. It is probably going to be a 50-50 split there. It should be a wild scene in L.A. tonight. I'm looking forward to that game. Definitely going to have that on and flipping between that and Bucks Nuggets, which we'll talk about on tomorrow's Daily Tap. We'll get familiar with NFL Week 11 lessons, kind of look at the playoff picture, see where we sit at this juncture, and then who knows what else. All right, take care, guys. Have yourselves a great Monday. Just remember, short week, baby. Short week. Keep that in your head. All right, take care. Bye.